Hey everybody, welcome to the Millisecond Podcast, a podcast of vulnerability and sincerity and honesty. And I don't do a lot of these a lot of times because I don't even want to know what I'm thinking and feeling, let alone tell you guys about it. But just kind of hit a milestone yesterday, and I think it's probably good for me just to kind of talk some of this stuff out, and you're cheaper than therapy. I don't know that. Maybe you aren't. So today, I am going to be talking about what I just did with the 75 hard. If you're not familiar, this is a challenge, and there's a lot of culture behind it, and I just bypassed all of the culture. But I did 75 hard, which is a 75-day commitment to work out twice a day for 45 minutes. There's got to be at least 3 hours in between them. One of them has to be outside. You have to maintain a diet, no alcohol, read 10 pages, and that might be it. I don't know. There's a lot. But it was just one of those things. 77 days ago, saw an Instagram post where somebody laid that out. I'm like, and over the course of like 5 to 10 minutes, I said, I'm going to do this. And when I did that, I was promptly called. Like, I received a phone call from someone I work with in the camp ministry who talked to me about it for like 2 hours. My friend had actually just recently gone through it herself and was so pumped at the idea of me doing it that she wanted to make sure I wasn't like dying or having a panic attack. But she talked to me about it. I was like, and it was full disclosure. I put like, no. Oh yeah. The other part of it is you have to drink a gallon of water a day. But I had put no prep time into really thinking about doing this. The reality is I had been drinking a gallon of water a day almost since the end of June. And I had picked that up from some counselors at a camp I'd spoke at in Alabama. And, you know, I was feeling better about my body just with that. But the full honesty of it is, I felt like everything was falling apart in my life. With the cancer, that kind of hijacked my whole family for the past year. It was a lot. And the depression of that was just overwhelming. And I was struggling with that way more than I could verbalize. And it wasn't just a oh man, this sucks. It's just the weight of everything. The weight of not knowing what's going to happen to my spouse. The weight of not knowing how this is going to affect my kids. Just the uncertainty of everything was just kind of killing me. We had gone through a staffing change with my church ministry, which put me in the place of taking a lot more of the creative and visual design stuff for our church. So I'm designing graphics now, and I'm recording this now at 11:44 at night when I should go to sleep. But I need to record tonight because I have to do a lot of graphics tomorrow, and I just don't have time to, you know, I've got to squeeze stuff in while I have the functionality to do it. So between work changes, cancer, COVID, cons being canceled, it just literally my life was falling. It felt like everything was falling apart. I had friendships that I've lost, people that have broke my heart, and just nothing felt normal. And like depression was getting the better of me on a regular basis. Now, I had actually been doing intermittent fasting for over a year. Like, I started in June of 2020, intermittent fasting, only eating between 12 and 8 outside of Lake. After a year, I took a couple weeks off, but I was only eating from 12 to 8 because I know that most of the time, when I'm stressed or depressed or anything like that, I eat my feelings. But I wasn't, I wanted to prevent that. So I was doing that and I wasn't getting as much exercise as I had been normally. Or maybe normal is the wrong word. I hadn't been getting as much exercise. So I was doing intermittent fasting just to make sure I didn't balloon up. And, but there was just something about when I saw that, Instagram post, y'all, and I'm serious. Sometimes all it takes is one Instagram post to flip somebody's whole life upside down. So use your, voice well, because you could literally be the thing that causes somebody to take some proactive, healthy steps. Or you could push them over the edge. You know, it's the Joker thing. All it takes is one little push. That's all it took for me was one push to actually get me started on that. And so I committed to do 75 hard. And that meant my whole life was going to change pretty quickly. And it did. I did all the math of it on my Facebook page. So with all of the numbers together, I did 150 workouts, 6,750 minutes of exercise, 3,375 minutes of outside time, read over 750 pages, that's kind of normal for me anyway. Drank 75 gallons of water, which, by the way, just for your comprehension, 75 gallons of water is about 850 pounds of water. And I only ate between 12 and 8 p.m., and I drank no alcohol, I didn't really even include that with the posts because I don't drink alcohol anyway, not really. And the other thing was you had to post a selfie every day or post a picture of you. And honestly, that was one of the hardest parts is because I get self-conscious posting pictures of me. Like sometimes I'll post a picture of me because I feel like I'm moderately attractive that day, or I feel confident in my skin, or I'll post a picture because you know what, like, you know, I haven't posted one in a while or whatever else. I actually tried in January to start the year out by taking a picture of me every day in a different capacity. And I only made it a couple days in. And so taking 75 pictures of myself was going to be harder than most people would think. And but I did it. And like just sticking with the photo thing, I was originally posting it on Facebook, and like I feel like I gauged the temperature of my social media core pretty well. And somewhere like maybe halfway into it, I stopped, you know, I made an announcement I was going to stop posting it on Facebook because I felt like my me sharing this was getting on people's nerves, or it was making them like me less. And that's kind of crazy that even in the middle of doing all this stuff, I was still afraid that me existing and how I was existing was bothering people. So I went to only posting the photos on Instagram and on Facebook stories. But yeah, it became a thing. Like, I had developed a lot of really healthy habits. The working out twice a day thing. Y'all, I don't know in the last year or two how many times I worked out two times in a row. in a day, if ever, or maybe even in a week. When I was getting ready for the Wizard of Oz play, I was walking a little bit more. But, you know, like, y'all, I started walking 18 holes of golf, carrying my golf bag. I started swimming 45 minutes of laps in the pool. I biked miles and miles and miles. I walked laps at the school board in front of my house, wearing a weight vest and carrying my gallon of jug, to the point that I established a rapport with the local drug dealer ladies that walk up and down my street, because we're both just walking around the street for no good reason. I mean, it was just a crazy thing. But it was good, and it was healthy for me to do it. But one of the things too, like when I was posting it, people were saying, "Oh, that's great. What are your results like? And, you know, are you losing? Like, what, how much have you lost?" And all these things. And one of the things I determined really early on was that I'm not weighing myself in this process. I didn't weigh myself beforehand, and I wasn't going to weigh myself during it. And the reason is, if I am focused on how many pounds I've lost, I'm not actually going to meet my goal. If I was focused on, like, what I was accomplishing in my own self in that capacity, it would be easy to get derailed and not be able to actually follow through with just doing it for the sake of being faithful and dedicated. And that was my big thing. I was like, I'm doing this out of commitment, not because I have a goal in mind. It was literally just because I was falling apart and needed some self-control and needed some self-discipline. And this really helped me do it. My whole schedule was shaped and formed around trying to maintain this. Sundays were absolutely the hardest, because Sundays are literally like, wake up at 6:30, get to our church building, leave church by 1:15 p.m., eat lunch, take an hour-long nap, and be back for youth group at 4:30. So finding time to actually get two workouts in on a Sunday was like just freaking bananas. And some days were just harder than others too. Like one day in the past couple months, there was a lady in our congregation whose mother passed away. Or no, sorry, father passed away. And the funeral for this man was about 3 hours away. And I knew nobody from our church was going to show up to this funeral. I just knew it. And our people aren't that committed in those ways. And I knew that if I didn't go, nobody from our congregation was going to be present at this lady's funeral, or this man's funeral. Because, you know, I wasn't there for him. I was there for his daughter, who's part of our congregation. And I didn't want her to be in the place where she was alone in this. And so I drove 2.5 hours to get to the funeral, maybe 3, whatever it was. And, like, trying to schedule when I was going to work out in the middle of a funeral thing was like, this is dumb, but I did it. Like, because it was about a 3-hour drive, I went to the funeral. As soon as the funeral was over, I found a park nearby, walked 45 minutes at the park, then got in the car, drove 3 hours home, which gave me my 3-hour window. And then I worked out once I got home. This is a lot. It was isolating, too, because I missed a lot of stuff, because I was trying to maintain that schedule. There's a lot of stuff that just didn't get written. Like, I'm further behind in Faith and Fandom 8 than I would have been if I hadn't done that. But again, I needed the self-discipline. But there was just a lot of, me that went into that. And you know, it was a struggle in those capacities, in those areas. So the first night I posted on Facebook that I was going to do this, like that I was starting the next day, some friends of mine from ministry years gone by, people that were part of my college ministry and stuff like that, they saw me post about it and they're like, oh, I need to do this too. And, you know, I told you, I didn't come into this with a lot of prep. I didn't come into this with a lot of planning. I didn't come into this with like, oh, I've been praying about this. No, it's just like, no, I'm going to do this. And so I couldn't begrudge them for wanting to just jump in spontaneously, especially since I jumped in spontaneously. But I struggle with thinking people are actually going to follow through with what they commit to. And so one of my friends created a 75 hard Facebook group. And like literally, I had announced it, and within 30 minutes he had created a group and added me to it. And I wanted to be like, no, don't add me. One, I don't like group chats. But two, it was like, I don't trust y'all. I really don't think you're going to follow through with this. I know I did this spontaneously, but I also know that I can follow through with this if I commit to it. And, you know, it's like they started posting their stuff pretty thing. But, like, almost everybody in the group, when they were posting it, were like, yeah, this sounds great. I'm not going to be able to do this part, though. I'm not going to be able to get two workouts in, though. I'm not going to be able to do this. And, you know, it's like literally they hadn't even started yet. And they were already at the place where they were compromising on things. And here's the deal. Do or do not, man. Yoda's about that life. If you're not willing to actually commit and do the hard parts, then there's no real point in you even doing it. Again, I wasn't going to be a salty douche about it. But that's how it felt. And it only took a few days or weeks or whatever before every person in that group had already dropped out. And that honestly made me feel more alone. That made me feel isolated. That made me struggle. Because I wasn't counting on them, but then to see everybody that said that they were going to do it too back out, you know, it hurt my heart. And there were honestly days in this I was glad I wasn't drinking, or that was a stipulation that I couldn't drink. Again, I'm not a drinker. But, like, there were days that I just felt so stressed out. And with everything else, because there was still a lot of life happening while this was going on. We were still finding out surgery things. We were still going through procedures. And, like, a lot of big life steps were still happening in this process. And there were days that I was grateful that I had that requirement on me. Just because I was like, man, I might be tempted to do that today. But at the end of the day, it's over. I made it all the way through. I didn't bypass things. I didn't take shortcuts. I drank all that freaking water. I worked out all those hours. And I still never weighed myself. But the big thing that I took away from this is that self-control is a big deal. You know, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But also, one of the things we see in Scripture is that self-control is it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Type in Scripture, 1 Peter 1. Verse 13 says, 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. It goes on to say, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. But that one verse has always stuck with me, that therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. That there has to come a point where you mentally say, I'm actually going to do what I need to do to be in control of me and to be in control of my life and to be in control of my actions. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. And I wasn't in a place where I was being self-controlled. I was in a place where, like, if you've ever seen a little kid get knocked down by a wave at the ocean, and then every time he tries to stand up, another wave just hits him. I felt like that was me. That's what my life looked like 80 days ago. And in that process, I wasn't even trying to get up anymore. I was just laying there and letting the waves push me around. And I needed to do something, self-control. You're saying, well, this wasn't like a spiritual thing. Well, yeah, look, one of the things is that you have to read 10 pages a day. And a lot of my reading was biblical or spiritual, biblically spiritual, extra devotionals and stuff like that. But beyond that, even if I hadn't read devotionals and even if I hadn't read Bible studies in that, when you take steps to put your mind in the right place and actually practice self-control, that is a spiritual thing. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is something that you actually have to do to prepare your minds for. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. And today, which is day 76, I literally struggled with depression the whole time, because and this is something, you know, that's a frequent thing in my heart, is that whenever I've got a big thing to be my focal point, or that I've got a big thing that I'm working towards, I'm a lot stronger, mentally, spiritually, physically, all the things. I'm a lot stronger. And last night I finished my last workout. I was at the park, wearing my 20-pound weight vest, carrying a 15-pound weight, drinking my water, and I finished my workout, and I came home satisfied. I posted a photo, did the thing, I was like, okay, done. This morning I woke up, and I was like, I don't need to get a workout, I don't have to get a workout in, but I also don't want to get fatter, and like, I just felt lost. And it's one of those things where scripture teaches us, without vision, the people perish. Like, if we don't have something to look forward to, if we don't have a direction of where we're going, it's easy for us to get bogged down and weighed down to the point that we miss out on the strength it takes to actually keep living strongly. And you know, today was that day for me. Today I woke up, today I started my day out, and I didn't have the goal that I had before me. I didn't have the discipline stuff that I had been holding on to for, like, you know, 2 months and some change. All of a sudden, like, my guards, my barriers, my direction, my lanes were just gone, and I felt like the waves were about to start knocking me down again. And my first instinct was to do my normal Monday routine, because my normal Monday routine, at least for the last couple weeks, is that I would go walk 18 holes of golf, and that would take out two of my workouts for the day, because walking 18 holes of golf roughly takes 5 hours for me at the course that I usually play at, so that I could get a 45-minute workout in. And even though I'm still exercising, there would be 3 hours in between before the next workout. And I could actually just play 5 hours of golf and get both my workouts in, including my outdoor one. And so Mondays had become my golf day, because I would be off from church work and I would go golf and do that. So I was going to do that. And then I looked around and my house was just such a mess from my travel, not because anybody else was doing stuff, but because of my travel schedule, my house was a mess. And I'm DJing a lot this weekend, and or this whole week actually. And I don't have the time and hours to do it if I didn't do it today. So I was just in this little depressed funk, walking around in my underwear, feeling lost, picking up stuff, and I'm doing research for a chapter on Ted Lasso. So I had Ted Lasso playing in the background, and eventually I'd be, ooh, like, I need to take notes on that. Ooh, I need to record that. I was just not in a great place.
And,
you know, it's... I had a few people genuinely celebrate that, like, not just people that clicked like on a Facebook page. I had some people that loved me that celebrated my efforts with this. And, but again, this wasn't to get skinny. This was because I needed control. And, then one of my friends hugged me on Sunday and was like, "You're tiny," and told me I was tiny. And I was like, I don't know if that qualifies. But the one thing that it did show me is that it's so important to have goals. It's so important to have things to work towards. And when whatever boundaries and parameters you set for yourself are going to be what you stick to. And if when you start things, you're already making excuses for when you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're doing yourself a disservice and you should do better. And yeah, I think that's about it. I still haven't weighed myself. Probably won't. But today I did eventually go work out and I still drank my gallon of water, even though, you know, nobody made me. And we'll see what tomorrow holds. But, I need to make sure I'm clinging to solid vision, that I'm leaning on Christ, that I'm actually holding on to God and following Him in this, because just having discipline without direction is, you know, that just sounds like punishment. But I'm so grateful for the people that stood by me and helped me through all of this, and the people that were patient with me when my schedule was wonky, or people that, you know, just didn't make fun of me for carrying around my giant orange jug through so much of this. Now, I've got to actually work for the next few weeks on just losing weight in general, because I think we're going to Disney as a family to celebrate my wife being clear of cancer in the middle of December. And I need to fit in some rides, fam. And so that's what we're doing it. So this has been the Millisecond Podcast, where, you know, I can't even remember if I said this at the beginning, but the Millisecond Podcast is, you know, based on the line from Hamilton, "Can I be real a second for just a millisecond? Let down my guard and tell the people how I feel a second." It's my podcast of honesty and vulnerability and saying the stuff that I can't say everywhere else, or, you know, even if I can, it's not the smartest to say it everywhere else. So, thanks for just listening to me ramble, if you cared enough to stick around for this. And I appreciate you greatly. And make sure you're giving yourself things to look forward to. Make sure you're giving yourself hopes and goals. And anytime you can add self-discipline, 2 Peter 5 teaches us that we're supposed to add stuff to our life in increasing measure. And that's the things that actually make us stronger. Not 2 Peter 5. 2 Peter 1? I'm going to have to look up scripture, sorry, in my sleepy brain. Cool, it is 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. The short version of that is, as long as we're doing things to add to our life, add to our faith in general, to add these things, goodness, perseverance, knowledge, self-control, it keeps us from being ineffective. And I was in a place where I needed to add some self-control to my life, and maybe you're in a place where you need to add other parts of what that just said, from goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love, you know, all that stuff. Maybe you're in a place to do that, but I knew that I was in a place where I needed to add self-control to my life. And I would encourage you, be honest with yourself about what you're missing and what you need so that you can add it. And if you need to do a program, or if you need to have accountability, if you need to do something that can help you grow in that, then that's the best step for you to do. But I'm done. I'm tapped out. This is my third podcast I recorded tonight, and I'm gonna go to sleep in just a second. But first, I want to thank our Patreon supporters, the people that donate to help make our cons possible, our website, our podcast, everything else that we do. Thank you so much for being a part of that. For Mike Perna, Todd Turner, Jonathan Jacobs, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Chris Poirier, Chris Cook, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, Adam Davis, and Stephanie Schwann, and Jason Crutchfield. We see you starting in November, and that's really cool too. But I just want to say thank you to everybody that supports us through Patreon. And if you're interested in supporting us with Patreon, you can go over to patreon.com/faithandfandom. And also, if you're interested in any of the devotionals or Bible studies that we have, you can go over to faithandfandom.org, click on the blog section, and there's like a couple hundred things, or maybe a little less than 200. But there's a lot of Bible studies and devotionals and things like that for you. But thanks for letting me be real. Thanks for letting me talk about this stuff, and for you caring enough to listen. And until I talk to you again, thank you.